friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Well, welcome to the final Thursday here in the month of May 2017. June begins next Thursday. How about that, friend? How are you? Welcome to, another edition of Mark and Friends here on this Thursday, this 25th day of May 2017. It is Joey Kroll. So good to see you. Here, let me take your coat, take your shoes off, have a seat. Let me get you some coffee, maybe some scones, and let's fellowship together. I look forward to our Thursdays each and every week. How is your week? I pray that it's going well. If it's not, praise God for his grace and his strength in those weeks. Amen. Hey, looking forward to a three-day weekend. And Memorial Day, of course, is on Monday, and our very own Jason Schiffa will be honoring our veterans at the Champaign Sportsman Club on the 29th. That is, of course, on Monday, Memorial Day at 9 a.m. If you're a veteran, maybe you know a veteran, take them to this breakfast. There's going to be juice, donuts, coffee. It's all taking place at the Champaign Sportsman Club, 302 North Lake of the Woods Road in Mahomet. Everything starts at 8:30. Again, 302 North Lake of the Woods Road in Mahomet. At the Champaign Sportsman Club, right there in Mahomet. Also, next month, we're going to be starting a Disciple Maker six-week series starting on Tuesday, June 13th, and we'll go for 6 weeks, facilitated by very own Pastor Jason Schiffo at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square in Urbana. Takes place from 6:15 to 7:30 each Tuesday, beginning Tuesday, June 13th. Now, the cost is only $5. That just basically covers your materials and other handouts and materials and so forth. You do need to register if you're interested in this. This class is going to help you in disciple making. If you're interested in that or know somebody who might benefit from it, register at our website, greatnewsradio.org, right under the Ivan Parker picture at our website, or you can call our office here at 217-367-7777. Well, coming up here in just a couple of moments, we're going to dive into God's Word together from the book of Genesis, chapter 16, and we're going to be talking about the God who sees right after this here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. Was dead. He lives, my ever living head. He lives to bless me with his love. He lives to plead for me above. He lives my hungry soul to.
Thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. Joey Kroll with you. And back in 1990, the blockbuster hit Home Alone was on the big screen across the country. It's if you're not too familiar with the movie, it's about an 8-year-old boy, Kevin, who's played by Macaulay Culkin, and his parents go on vacation and completely forget about him, leaving him behind at home. Then they came out with Home Alone 2 a couple of years later, where his parents go on vacation and lose him at the airport, and he finds himself going onto the wrong plane, going to the wrong city. And then there were three more Home Alone movies right after that with the same idea. I mean, makes you think, my goodness, these parents. talk about feeling invisible if you're that main character. Talk about feeling like you don't matter. I'll tell you what, friend, it's a terrible feeling to be abandoned by your parents. It's also tough to feel abandoned by God. Most of us have felt that way at one time or another. Maybe things were going well and suddenly the bottom dropped out of your life. In the midst of the confusion of events, you've probably asked yourself, God, where are you? Do you even see me down here? And today we're going to be talking about the God who sees. So if you're able to, go ahead and get your Bible out. Turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 16. Again, we're going to be talking about the God who sees. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, 'Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her.' And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, 'May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, she had looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me.' And Abram said to Sarai, 'Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please.' Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her." So we see here a big mess in the home, don't we? I mean, God had told Abram that that he's going to have an offspring, descendants like no other. God said that he would have a child, a son through him, and some great things were going to happen. But the problem was Sarai was barren. She was unable to have children. Now, here's the downer. 10 years later, it still hasn't happened. Abram is about 85 here in Genesis 16. Instead of circumstances getting better, they got worse. So we have some pretty discouraged pilgrims here. So Sarai came up with the brilliant idea, that I use that in quotations, of suggesting that Abram take her housemaid Hagar as a wife so she can bring a child. Now, that was kind of the custom of the day for people to do stuff like that. But just because it was the custom, it does not mean that it was okay. Just like today, something may be all right in culture, but it does not mean it's all right in God's eyes. So Sarai gets this idea, verse 2. "So Sarai said to Abram, 'Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her.'" She says, "It may be that I shall obtain children by her." There is no "thus saith the Lord." There is no "this is what God said." There is no "let's pray about it." She says, "It may be, or perhaps, that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram agreed with this horrible idea. And so Hagar, she conceives, and I bet they were like, "Huh, answered prayer, right?" No, verse 4 says, "And he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and she saw that she had conceived. She looked with contempt on her mistress." Contempt is a word meaning to make smaller, to make smaller. So Hagar, who was the housemaid, who was the hired hand, gets pregnant, and she looked with contempt upon Sarai. Now, I don't know. No, Scripture doesn't really tell us how she did that, but maybe she made some comments. I don't know. Maybe rubbed her belly a little too much in front of Sarai just to make her feel bad that she was able to have kids. And plus, by this time, it proved beyond all doubt that the problem was Sarai, not Abram. Right? It wasn't Abram's fault that they couldn't have kids. It was Sarai. So there's that emotion going on with Sarai. I mean, one of the hardest things for a woman is to come to grips that she cannot have kids. And so she had somebody else rubbing it in her face. I mean, someone else was pregnant with her husband's baby. So there's a lot of emotions going on here. And Sarai got hot, so she acted harshly towards her. And she did what any good wife does. She blames her husband. Verse 5 says, Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. I mean, this entire house is in shambles. It's a mess. It's like a Jerry Springer episode in the Old Testament right here. So Abram said to Sarai, the Bible says here, behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. Watch this. Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled. And she fled. And the Bible says that she dealt harshly with Hagar to the point where she left. She left home. She left her job. She left her baby daddy, so to speak. She left her security. She left it all. I mean, Hagar was in despair here. Think about this. All the emotions that was going on in this house, Hagar was in despair. Hagar was feeling hopeless. Hagar was weary. She was alone. She was pregnant. She was rejected. She was cast out after being used. Surely feeling that nobody cares for me. Life isn't fair. No one understands me. And then verse 7 happens. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. It says the angel of the Lord found her. Now, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at every time, right? That means what the term he found her means he sought her out. He was intentional to talking to her. Hagar can flee from the presence of Sarai, but she couldn't flee from the presence of the Lord. And he found her in the wilderness. That's what verse 7 says. He found her in the wilderness. I mean, what a beautiful picture of our compassionate God who is concerned even for this poor, confused servant girl. He found her in the wilderness. That is often where he finds us, isn't it? Isn't that right? Some of God's greatest work, friend, is in the wilderness. Some of my greatest moments with God is in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of wilderness. Verse 8 says, and he said to Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? She says, I am fleeing from my mistress, Sarai. You know, God often used questions to get people thinking. Where are you going, Hagar? She doesn't have any good answers to that question. Her life is such in chaos, she really doesn't know. She may be on the road that leads to Egypt, but she doesn't know what she's going to find when she gets there. Where have you come from? I mean, that's the only thing on her mind. I'm running away from my problems. I'm trying to get as far back from Sarai as I can. In verse 9, the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. You know, God tells her to do something very difficult. Go back to your terrible situation and submit yourself to Sarai. Let me tell you something. Most of us, we like to run away from the problem. We want to get away from the conflict. We want to get away from the frustration. I mean, that's what human nature tells us. Just get away from it, run away from it, you know, and that's human nature. See, when there's a problem in the workplace, we start updating our resume, don't we? When there's problems in the marriage, we start looking for a divorce. When we have problems in the church, we start looking for a new church, don't we? Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time to go, but unless God says go, we need to stay. He says, go back to your mistress. He tells her that He isn't through with her yet in that home. He's not done with her yet in that position. He's not done with her in that job, in that place. He tells her to go back. See, sometimes God can use the problems that we're running away from to mold us, to shape us, to refine us. He tells her to go back. And he encourages her by telling her what he'll do. He says that he will expand her offspring. Verse 11 says, "And the angel of the Lord said to her, Behold, you are pregnant, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction." It says, "The Lord has listened to your affliction." Some of us need to be reminded of those words. Because the Lord has listened to your affliction. And God commands her, listen to this, to name the baby boy Ishmael. Ishmael. Why in the world would he tell her what to name that baby? You know, Ishmael means God hears. Did you know that? Ishmael means God hears. So Hagar, every time you say that baby's name, you're going to be reminded of my goodness. Every time you say that baby's name, you're going to be reminded of my mercy. Every time you say that baby's name, you're going to be reminded that I hear you in the midst of your despair. Every time you say that baby's name, you're going to be reminded of who I am. And this left Hagar so overwhelmed. And she says in verse 13, "So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are a God who sees.' For she said, 'Truly here I have seen him who looks after me.'" Friend, isn't that beautiful? God sees our affliction. God is the God of sympathy. He sees, he knows, God sees you. You don't have any heartache. You don't have any pain. You don't have any trouble that he doesn't know of. Psalm 33, verse 18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his steadfast love." Friend, God sees you when you bury your loved one. God sees you when you get that pink slip. God sees you when you have another month of infertility. God sees you when your spouse walks out on you. God sees you. A child in Burma was permitted by his parents to go to a Christian school in order to learn to read. And the child began to question his faith in the idols, which troubled his parents. So the father took the little boy to one of the largest temples where the fragrance of incense filled the air. There he showed him the glittering images covered with gold and silver ornaments and surrounded by flowers and candles. And the father said, "Here is a God you can see. The Christians cannot show you their God." "Yes," said the child, "we can see your God, but he cannot see us." Friend, we have a God who sees. He sees your past. He sees your present. He sees your future. He sees it all. Friend, he sees our affliction.
Calls me his own.
Isn't it great to know that we have an intimate God? I love that great reminder that He knows my name. That's music from Tommy Walker here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. And don't forget, coming up next month, Saturday, June 10th, getting ready for the Ivan Parker concert. He's coming back to the area, Lincoln Square in Urbana. You can get more details on that by visiting our website at greatnewsradio.org. Well, friend, I'm going to get my shoes on, take my coat on, and head out for the day. But Mark and Jason will keep you company for tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, 7:32 a.m. Central Time. Until next time, friend, just remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.